B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Yud Zayin. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Tes Zayin Omid Beis. Tonu Rabbonon, Keitzad Merakdim Lifnei Akalo. What does one say whilst dancing before a kalo? B'shamay Oimrim, B'shamay say, Kalo Kamois Shehi, that you praise her for what she is. Rashi says, Lefi Yefya, according to her beauty, V'chashivuso, and her importance, Mekalsin Oisom, that's how you praise her. Not for more than she is. Ubeshilil Oimrim. Beshilil say there's a standard text, Kalo Anoya V'chasuda, that you always praise her for her beauty and for her chasidus, for how charming she is. Omru lehem Beshamei leBeshilil. Beshamei asked Beshilil, Harei Shoisoch Igeres. What happens if everybody can see that she's lame, Oisuma, or blind? Oimrim lo Kalo Anoya V'chasuda, can you say that she's beautiful and charming? Did the Torah not say midvar sheker tirchok? You should distance yourself from saying anything which is far from the truth, or anything which is not the truth, any lie. Omru lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, ledivreichem, according to you, Beis Shammai, mi shelokach mekach ra min hashuk. If somebody bought something from in the marketplace, and then it transpired that it was a mekach ra, it was a not such a successful sale. Yishabchenu be'enov or yaganenu be'enov. What would you say, Beis Shammai? Should we praise the product in the eyes of the one who bought it, or should one degrade it and be megane it? Hava Omer, of course you'd say yishabchenu be'enov, that since if he found favor, since there was something that made him buy this object, that you should focus on that property of the object and praise it. Mikan omru chachomim. And from here, from the words of Beis Hillel, the Chachomim determined that Lo'ilam Tehi Daito Shel Odom Urebes Mabrias, a person should always find a place to be connected to other people, and what's important to them, it's worth appraising that in their eyes. Ki also Rav Dimi, Omar Hochi, Mashri Kama Kalso. Rav Dimi said that this is what they would sing in front of a kalo, B'marova, in Eretz Yisrael, Lo'i Kechal, not makeup, V'lo yisrak, and no, not blush, V'lo pirkus, nor hair braids, V'yalas chen. Just grace, radiance, and in spite of the fact that she doesn't have makeup and blush and hair braids, nonetheless, her grace radiates from her face. Kisamchu rabbonon Reb Zeira, when they ordained, the Chacham ordained Reb Zeira, they gave him smicha. Then Sharu Lehochi, then they also sang this before Reb Zeira. They said, Lo'i kechal, v'lo'i srak, v'lo'i pirkus. He doesn't have all the external beauties, v'yala schein. Even in the absence of external beauties, the inner beauty, the inner grace radiates from him. Kisomchu Rabbonon Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. When the Chachomim ordained Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Sharu Lehochi, then they said, they sang the following, Kol min dein, v'chol min dein, anyone who is like these, like this, and like this, anyone who is like Rav Ami, anyone who is like Rav Asi, smuchu lanu. They are the ones that we want should get smicha, they should be the dayonim, they should be the ones who should be leading us. Lo tismuchu lanu, but do not ordain those, lo mina sarmisim, not those who are distorters, they distort the truth, lo minha sarmitin, and not those who are compared to people who are just wearing rags and only part of the body is covered, which means don't ordain people who are only giving us part of their reasonings and only expressing part of what they have. V'omri lo, loimin chamisin, others say that they would say, don't ordain for us, not people who are chamisin, people who withhold from us the reasonings of their learning, v'loimin turmisin, and not those who are compared to turmisin, which is a bitter type of a food. We don't want to have bitter people who are leading us. This continues the Gemara. Rebbe Avohu ki ava osi mimasivta lebei Caesar. When Rebbe Avohu went to discuss some communal matters in the home of the Caesar, nofkon amosa debei Caesar laapei, then one of the matrons of the Caesar came out towards him, umashrin lehochi, and she would sing in front of him, she would say in front of him, Rabba de Ame, the prince of the people, umadbarno du umse, and the leader of the nation, boitzino de nohira, a lit candle, Borich Mesaich Lesholim. Blessed should your coming here, your coming here should be blessed. Omru Olov al Rabbi Yehuda Bariloi. Now we're going back to what they would do before a kala in order to make her happy on the day of the chasna. They said about Rav Yehuda Bar Iloi, Shehayonotel bad shel hadas, he would take a branch of a hadas, hadasim, or marakad lifnei kala, and he would dance before a kala. Va'imer, and he would say, kala noeva chasuda, as we saw before, that there are those who would say, Rav Bisidl said, you should always say, kala noeva chasuda, this kala is beautiful and charming. Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Merakid Atlas, he would take three hadasim and he would juggle them. He would take three stalks, three branches, and he would juggle with them. Omer Rav Zera said, Komach Siflon Saba, our elder, referring to Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, you're embarrassing us. This is not the way that you're degrading the honor of Talmidei Chachomim. And you're just acting lightheaded. It's not appropriate for somebody of your stature and age to be doing this. Kinoch nafshei. Nonetheless, when Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok passed away, then ifsuk amuda denura, there was a pillar of fire that separated bein didei lekule alma, between him, between the coffin, between the body, and the rest of the people. Ugmiri, and they had a tradition, deleifsuk amuda denura, Elo lechad bedora oy letrei bedora. This only happens in one or two people per generation, that a pillar of fire separates at the funeral, separates between the person who passed away and the people. Om Rav Zera said that what made him deserving of this honor, of this concept, there's a question how Rav Zera knew this. But Rav Zera says, Ahanyole, what helped him was Shutise, the branch that he used to juggle with, that helped Lesaba, this elder, to attain this honor. V'omrilo, others say it wasn't Shutisei, which is the branch, rather it's Shtusei, it's Lesaba, it was, so to speak, the foolishness, the way he was lightheaded in front of the Kala, that's what gained him this honor when he passed away. V'omrilo, and some say it wasn't Shutisei, the branch, it wasn't Shtusei, the foolishness, rather Shitosei, it was his opinion that this is the way that you're supposed to dance in front of a kala, that was Shitosi Le Saba, it was the opinion of this elder that stood in his cause. Continues the Gemara. Rab Acha Markiv Lo Akisfe, Rab Acha used to carry the kala on his shoulders, or Merakid, and dance with her. Omri Le Rabbonon, the Chachomim said to Rab Acha, Anan Maul Mevatochi, is this really what you think we should all be doing? Omar Luhu, and he said to them, Idamyon alaychu, if this kala is comparable in your eyes, when you see this kala, when you dance with this kala, is kakashura, that she's compared to you just as a beam, just as something that there's no hero, it doesn't cause your mind to veer away, then lechai, then it's okay. Ve'iloi, but if you're not on that level, then loy, you should not be doing this. Omer Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonason. Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said in the name of Rabbi Yonason that muta l'estakel b'fnei kala kol shiva, even though normally one's not allowed to look or gaze at a kala, one's not allowed to gaze at a woman. However, a kala during the week of the first week when she gets married, the week of Sheva Brachos, you're allowed to. Kedei lechavavo al bailo, to endear her to her husband, because her husband, the new chosn, will see everybody looking at her, and her beauty will penetrate to him and will touch his heart. V'les hilchasakava, say however the halacha is not like Rabbi Yonason, and one is not allowed to gaze at a kala ever, or at any woman. Continues the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, ma'avirin es hameis melifnei hakala. If you've got a group of people who are carrying a deceased person, and a group of people who are following a kala to the chuppah, and they meet at some junction, and it's obviously inappropriate that they should be mingling and mixing with each other, then one of the groups have to make way for the other group. So the Braisa says that mavirin es hameis milifnei kala. Then we steer away the deceased person, the levaya, and we let the kala travel ahead. But when there's a king coming towards them, then both the kala or the mace get moved to the side in order to allow the king to travel along, because the honor of the king overrides all else. Omro lov al Agripa Samelech, it says about the Agripa Samelech, she'ovar milifnei kala, that he actually moved aside to let a kala go to the chuppah with the people who are following her, with the people who are being melaveh her, v'shibchu chachomim, and the chachomim actually praised him with it. And the Gemara says, shibchu, if they praised him with it, michral de shapir ovid, then it would seem that he did the right thing. Did we not say that a king gets precedence over a kala and a mace? V'homer Ravashi, did Ravashi not say, afilu leman da'oma nosi shemochal al kvoidei, even though a nosi, a leader of the people, who renounces, who forgives, who allows his own honor to be overridden, kvoidei mochal, he's allowed to be moichel on his covet, he's allowed to renounce the honor that's coming to him. However, melech shemochal al kvoidei, a king who does that, in kvoidei mochal, a king is not allowed to renounce his honor. This is learned from a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Soim tosim olech omelech." You have to place upon you the king. What does it mean? You should place, and it's a double term, "Soim tosim," which means it should constantly be on you. Shetehei imosoy olecho, that the awe of the king, fear of the king, the honor of the king should constantly be on you. So we learn from this pasuk that a king is not allowed to renounce his honor. So how could Agrippa Samelech move aside to let the kala go through? Answers the Gemara, Proshas Drochim Havoi. His moving away for the kala was not a sign of his renouncing his honor, because it was a crossroads. And he just turned the corner as if that's the way he wanted to go, letting the kala continue on her path. But it's not as if he let the kala go and he would like stand still and wait for her. No, he just carried on his journey. He just went out of his way and nobody noticed that he was doing this for the kala, and that's why it was okay. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, one interrupts Torah learning, Loitzua Sameis, in order to be involved in taking a dead person to the burial, to the funeral, Ulachnos es kala, and to take a kala to the chuppah. Omro lov al Rabbi Yehuda bar Iloi, it was said about Rabbi Yehuda bar Iloi, he indeed would interrupt his learning in order to go to a levaya and a chuppah, to take the kala to the chuppah. But when is this true? There's a condition. It's only if the person, we're talking now about the deceased person, that if the amount of people who are following this deceased person to the burial, if there's not enough people with him, then you're allowed to follow and go to the, then you interrupt your learning to follow the levaya. Aval yesh imay kol tzorkoi, if however there are enough people who are honoring this person, ein mevatlin, in that case then you're not mevatl, you don't stop learning, you don't interrupt the learning. The kama kol tzorkoi, how much is considered kol tzorkoi, the needs, how much is enough for a levaya? Omer Shmuel Bar Ini, Mishmei de Rav, Shmuel Bar Ini said, in the name of Rav, Treisa Alfi Gavri, 12,000 men, Veshita Alfi Shipuri, and besides that, another 6,000 shofars, people who are blowing the shofar to announce the levaya, and that people should come out to respect the deceased person. V'omri lo, others say, Tleisa Alfi Gavri, 13,000 men, Uminayu, and of the 13,000, Shitta Alpha Shipuri, there would be 6,000 who would sound the shofar. Ula Omar, Ula says, Kagoin de Chaitzi, as many as there are with people who could form a line, Gavri, of men, Me'abula, from the town's gate, Va'ad Sichra, until the cemetery. Rav Sheshes, V'itame Rabbi Yechanan Omar, it's either Rav Sheshes or Rabbi Yechanan said, Netziloso Kanesinoso. Now that a person passed away, he's not learning Torah anymore. So now there's been a certain element of a stop in Torah. So you say the amount of people who are going to follow and take this person to the burial is the same amount. That means those who are following the cease, the end, the stop to Torah should be as many as when the Torah was first given. Manu Sinosa, when the Torah was first given at Sinai, Bashishim Riboy, there were 600,000 men there. Afnu Tilosa, so too, and this person passes away, and now there's an end to his Torah learning, Bashishim Riboy, we would expect and hope there should be at least 600,000 people that are there. Vahanimili, and all these numbers, that's only true Leman de Kori, for somebody who only learned Chumash, Vetoni, or learned Mishnayos, but wasn't yet at the level of teaching Torah to other people. Av Leman de Masni, but somebody who's teaching Torah to other people, les lo shiura, there's never enough. As many as there are, then there's always one interrupts Torah in order to go to the funeral. Continues the Gemara. And the Gemara now takes us back to the Mishnah. V'im yesh edim shiyotzta b'inuma v'chulu. We saw in the Mishnah earlier on that if there's edim on daf tezvav amud beis, that if there's witnesses that say that this girl, the way that the chuppah was done was either b'inuma or roisha perua, that is a sign that she was a basula. And we've already discussed earlier that it's important for us to know whether when she got married she was a basula or an almona. And one of the manifestations of that would be, or one of the differences in halacha would be, how much ksuba she deserves. Says the Gemara, my hinuma. Use the word hinuma. And we kept saying the Gemara is going to discuss what it is. Here's the Gemara. What is this hinuma? Something that only girls who had never been married before would do during when they're going to the chuppah. Surchav bar papa mishmeid ziri omar, tanura da'asa. It was a round, oven-shaped canopy of hadasim, and typically they would this would accompany a kala to the chuppah. Or this is a type of a chuppah, a type of a canopy that they would only do for a basula. Rabbi Yechanan omar. Rabbi Yechanan says hinuma, which is typically the way we know the hinuma today, is karisa de menamnaba kalosa. It's a type of veil that hides her eyes completely, and because nobody can see her eyes, it actually allows her to be menamnim, to doze off a little bit, allows the color to doze off without people realizing. That's why it's called the hinuma, from the word menamnama, it allows her to doze off. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereka Omer. We saw at the end of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yechanan ben Bereka said, in the middle of the Mishnah, that af chiluk kloyes raya, if they would distribute parched grains, then that would also be proof that the girl who's getting married had never been married before, she was a basula. Says the Gemara, Tona biyuhuda raya. These customs that proved that the girl who was getting married, the woman getting married, had never been married before, she was a basula, that's all in Eretz Yisrael, in a place called Yehuda. Bovel, my. But what customs did they have in Bovel that would show that she's a basula? Omar Rav, Rav says, the dardugi de mishcha areisha de rabbonon, where the women, they would rub oil onto the heads of the chachomim. Omar le Rav Papa Abaya, Rav Papa questioned Abaya, mishcha de chafifusa ka omar mar? Are you suggesting that this is oil that was like used to shampoo the heads of the chachomim? Is that what they did? Is that what the custom is? Was that necessary? Omar le, Abaya said back to Rav Papa, yasma. Yasma, the literal translation, means an orphan, but he said it seems to be that you are deprived of this if it's so strange in your eyes. Lo yavde lecha imcha dardugi mishcha areisha derabbanan b'sha'as maisa. Did your mother not do this to rub oil into the heads of the chachomim when she got married? And that's what they used to do in Bovel. Kiha dahu mirabbanan. An incident, there was this chacham, the Iasek Le'libre, where he arranged for his son to get married, Bei Rabbi Bar Ula, with a girl from the home and the family of Rabbi Bar Ula. The Omri, others say it was Rabbi Bar Ula, Iasek Le'libre, it was Rabbi Bar Ula whose son got married, Bei Ha'ul Mirabonon, to a daughter from one of the chachamim. And what did they do? The Daradig Mishcha, Reshid Rabbonon, B'Sha'as Maisa, and whilst during the Chasna ceremony, they would rub the oil into the heads of the Rabbonon. Says the Gemara, Armal Tomai, what would they do to prove that a woman is not a basula, that she's an almona? Tani Rav Yosef, Armal to les lo kisni. Even though they would often give out grains, parched grains, and other circumstances, and we saw before that in some places that was the custom that they always did that when she was a basula. When she was an almona, they would make a point of making sure that nobody was distributing any parched grains to anyone. So if it was in the absence of any distribution of the parched grains, that would be a sign that the woman is an almona and not a basula. Continues the Gemara, Umaydu Rabbi Yeshua Boimer Lachaveroi Vechulu. That with the end of the Mishnah, we saw that Rabbi Yeshua says that even though enough and earlier on in the first Peirik, I hold that we don't use Migu. Migu means that I'm believed with the claim I make. Because if I would be lying, I would have said a different claim, one that would have served me more. Says Rabbi Yeshua that in the following case, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold of Migu. However, in the following case, where it's not as if somebody asked a question, the situation screamed a question, I had to give an answer, I gave answer A and I'm believed because I could have said answer B. But if the person who's giving the answer is the one who introduced the question, and in his absence nobody would have asked a question, nobody would have demanded any answers, that type of Pesha Osa, Hua Pesha Hitir, since he could have remained silent and nobody would have said a word, since he didn't remain silent, then the same way as he introduced the question, he's also believed to give us his answer or to give us his opinion and we would believe him. And that even Rabbi Yeshua agrees. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, why do you need a case? What was the case that he believes? In a case where somebody goes to his friend, Reuven goes to Shimon, and he says, you know, this field here actually used to belong to your father. Shimon had no idea. But Reuven says, you know, this used to belong to your father. I bought it from him. So do we believe Reuven that he bought it from him? Maybe we believe him it belonged to Shimon's father. Prove that you bought it from him. And if you can't prove it, give the field back to Shimon. No. Since Shimon knew nothing about this. And as we saw before in the Gemara, Ein Shoir Shochot Lefanecho. There was no ox that was slaughtered here that's demanding a question, who did it? There's no question. Shimon was none the wiser. He knew nothing else. Reuven introduced the situation by saying, this field used to belong to your father. He's also believed to say, I bought it from your father and it's mine. So now the Gemara is asking, why is the Gemara bringing that example? Why do I need an example that it was a field that belonged to his father? And because there was no Shoir Shochot Lefanecho, because this Shimon knew nothing about it, that's why Rabbi Yeshua says, we believe him, HaPesha Osa, Hu HaPesha Hitir. The Gemara is saying, I've got a much more straightforward case. The listener, why don't you bring a case that Rabbi Yeshua will agree to Migu because it's Ein Shoir Shochot Lefanecho, the ox is not lying in front of you slaughtered. Moide Rabbi Yeshua, say that Rabbi Yeshua agrees, but Oimer Lechaveri, if Reuven says to Shimon, Sode Zeb, this field Shelcho Hoysa, this field was once yours, not your father's, it was yours Shimon, Velekachti Mimcha, and I bought it from you. And this is a better case because in the case in the Mishnah, Shimon doesn't really know, it's Bori Veshema. Reuven says, I'm 100% confident that I bought it from your father. Shimon says, I don't know. So Rabbi Yeshua says, he's got a migu, Reuven is believed, because he could have just remained silent and said nothing. Over here, if you've got a case, which Tosfos says, is like a bori or bori. Reuven says, this field was yours, and I bought it from you. Shimon says, no, you didn't. In an absolute certain way, you didn't. I don't know how you are supposed to know, or how I'm supposed to know, that this field was mine, but you certainly didn't buy it from me. And the Chasam Sofer discusses what sort of case would there be where Reuven can be sure that this belonged to Shimon. Shimon doesn't know about it, but Shimon can be certain that Reuven didn't buy it from him. But whatever the case is, why is the Mishnah going and saying that Reuven says to Shimon, this field used to belong to your father, and I bought it from him, and he's believed? In the same way as we explained that when a situation doesn't come forward, which means that when nobody comes with a claim, the claim is, so to speak, presented by the person who is then going to defend himself. Like here, it's Reuven who's saying, this field belonged to somebody else once upon a time. And then he's saying, but now it belongs to me. Over here, Shimon didn't come and claim his field. He didn't know it was his field, or he certainly didn't claim his field. Reuven comes and tells Shimon, this was your field once. You didn't claim it. I didn't have to tell you. I didn't have to say anything. And I'm telling you it was yours, and I bought it from you. Why don't you just say a simpler case? In that case, Rabbi Yeshua will agree that there's a migu, and he's believed. HaPesha Osa, HaPesha Hitir, and Reuven can keep the field. Why did the Mishnah go as far as saying that Reuven is telling Shimon that he'd bought his father's field? That was the question of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara that we have an issue here, because you'll remember that in the Mishnah contrasts what we said. Rabbi Yeshua agrees that if the only way that we know of the situation is because of Reuven, then Reuven is believed. But in the event that we had other information, for example, if two Edim actually came and testified and says, we know that this field that Reuven claims he bought actually belonged once to Shimon's father, in that case, Reuven can't just say, I bought it from your father. Why should we believe you? We all agree it didn't belong to you once. Now you're saying it's yours. Prove it. So the Mishnah is contrasting when we say that there's a migu because he could have been quiet and nobody would have said anything. In contrast to that, when there's Edim, where the Edim determine the situation and then Reuven's claim will not be Ne'eman. Says the Gemara, if you would have said that Reuven is saying to Shimon, Shimon, this field was yours once. And I bought it from you, and Shimon never knew anything about it, never claimed it, then we say that the Gemara is suggesting that the Mishnah should have said that Rabbi Yeshua will say Migu. The Gemara is now saying, okay, you're right, but how would you continue that? If the Mishnah was talking about that, then the Mishnah would have to continue. But if there's Edim that the field belonged to Shimon, which means it was known that the field belonged to Shimon, then what? Then Reuven will not be believed, because that's the flip side of the case. That it's not Hapesh Osa, it's not that you, Reuven, introducing us the case. We knew about this case from two Edim. The question is, will it be true that if two Edim say this field belongs to Shimon, and Reuven says, well, I bought it, we're not going to believe him? How are you so sure about that? Maybe because there's an issue with that, that's why the Mishnah didn't say this case. And the Gemara is going to explain that. Mishum dekaboy lemisna sefer, because had you said that Rabbi Yeshua agrees when Reuven says to Shimon, this field was yours and I bought it from you, then you would have to continue to the last statement of the Mishnah by saying, im yesh edim sheishaloi, if you have witnesses that the field belonged to Shimon and that knowledge isn't coming exclusively from Reuven, and then Reuven says, Lokachti mimenu, I bought it from Shimon, einu ne'eman. In that case, he's not ne'eman. That's what the Mishnah would have to say. Well, is that true? Hey chadomi, let's see what the case is. Id ochle shnei chazoka, and this is the concept we're going to learn about later on in Shas. But there's a concept that when somebody buys a field, typically there's a contract. There's a contract of sale. Does the buyer have to keep this document forever? No. For 3 years, he has to keep it. If for 3 years you're in the field and the owner, the previous owner, does not protest that, then you have years called chazoka. We can now determine the status quo has changed and now you are the status quo. You buyer, we assume this is your field because for 3 years there was no mecha, nobody protested you being in the field, and therefore we assume now it's yours. And even if you cannot, if you can no longer bring the document, we will assume it's yours. So what happens? So we have to understand. If this Reuven says, I bought this field from you, Shimon, and I've been there for 3 years already. I don't have the document to prove it, but I have been there for the 3 years. Then amailo imehemon? Then he will be believed. Not because of Pesha Osar. If there's Edim, there's no Pesha Osar or Pesha Hitr, there's no Migu. But he'll be believed because he's been there for 3 years. V'idaloyochal shnei chazoka. And if he hasn't eaten the 3 years, pshita. Then it will go without saying, Delay Mehemon. You can't just say, yeah, I know this field was yours, and Edim say this field is yours, and I'm in this field, I've been here for 6 months, and I don't have any documents to prove it. Of course we won't believe him. There's no element of Chiddush, the Mishnah doesn't need to tell us that. And since the Mishnah wanted to introduce an element of Chiddush, so we say that no, Reuven is claiming to Shimon that this field belonged to your father. And since the only way Shimon knows that is from Reuven, we believe Reuven that he bought it. But were there Edim to say that this field belonged to Shimon's father, then Reuven would not be believed. We have to understand why. Why can't we ask the same question? Let's understand. If he's been there for 3 years, then okay, then he's believed. That means if there's Edim that it says it belonged to Shimon's father, and Reuven says he bought it. If he's been there for 3 years, he should be believed. The Mishnah says he's not believed. And if he's not been there for 3 years, why should we believe him? That means if the reason you didn't speak about Shimon, you spoke about Shimon's father, is because of what we just said, the same situation, the same question is going to be against the claim, it belongs to your father. Even the claim that does say in our Mishnah. If this Reuven claims that he was there for 3 years, amailo mehemon. Why should the why should Reuven not be believed, even if there's Edim? If I have Edim that this field belonged to Shimon's father. So it's true, I don't have a Migu. I don't have a Pesha Osa, a Pesha Hitter. And Shimon knows about this from the Edim. And he's claiming from Reuven. The Mishnah says, no, in that case, you haven't got a Migu, you haven't got a Pesha Osa, Reuven's not believed. If he's been there for 3 years, of course he's believed. Amailoi Mehemon, why shouldn't he be believed? If he hasn't been there for the 3 years of Chazaka, Pshita Delei Mehemon, again, of course he's not going to be believed. Then not because he hasn't got a Pesha Osa. He's not believed because everybody knows this field belonged to Shimon's father, and you haven't been there for Chazaka. Where's the document? You have no document, you haven't been there long enough. Of course, this field's not going to be yours. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, no. Bishloi Megaba Oviv, in the case where the field belonged to the father, Mishkachas lo, I can find an element of Chiddush where it could have, there were 3 years passed, and therefore there may have been a reason to believe that he no longer has to keep the document, and 3 years has passed, and indeed he should be able to stay there. And nonetheless we say, no, you cannot stay there. Something that wouldn't be the case had he bought the field directly from Shimon. Kugoyim, what's the case? Kugoyim she'ochro shtayim b'chayov. He says he bought it from the father, and after that, for 2 years, he was in the field. Nobody protested. And then the father died. And then now there was a child who was left over. There was an orphan who was a minor, who was a cotton. And this child, va'achas b'chaye b'noi. And here you've got a child who's a little child, and he can't protest. He doesn't know about the field. He doesn't know how to protest. He doesn't know any better. And Reuven says, I was in the field for 3 years. Do we say, oh, you've been in the field for 3 years, you didn't have to keep your document, it's yours? No. Says the Mishnah, if there's Edim that this belonged to Shimon's father, and even though you've been there for 3 years, you do not have Chazaka. Why? Ukud Rav Huna. As Rav Huna says, and that's the Chiddush, to Omer Rav Huna, ein machzikin b'nechse katan, afilu higdil, that a property that became, that it was first, when it belonged, when it was transferred, that means the first time that the minor had any association with this field, that means the first time Shimon had any association with his father's field, Shimon was actually a minor, that means the first time that Shimon could have protested, had Reuven been in the field illegally without the sale, he would have had to protest. But at that first moment in time, he was a cotton, and even this point in time, he's already a godel, he's already not a minor, he's not a child. Nonetheless, that year of Chazaka is not counted. So if Reuven comes and says, for 2 years I was there when the father was there and he didn't protest, and 1 year when the child was there, I may have thought he can keep the field. The answer is no, you cannot keep the field, because the third year of Chazaka, this child was a minor. And that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that he's not Ne'eman. Says the Gemara, okay. So if you're telling me that that's what it says in the Mishnah, that Reuven says to Shimon, this field belonged to your father, I bought it from him, and in that case, a pesha asa, a pesha yitir. But if there's Edim, if there's witnesses that say it belonged to your father, then it belonged to Shimon's father, then Reuven is not Ne'eman. And we're clearly talking about that he's got at least 3 years Chazaka, otherwise there's no Chiddush. So he's got 3 years Chazaka. If he's got 3 years Chazaka, why is he not believed? It must be the Mishnah means, it's talking about a case where the 2 years were B'chaye Oviv, and the third year was when the Yerush, the one who inherited the field, would have inherited the field, is a minor. So if that's it, then Rav Huna's halacha is explicit in the Mishnah. Rav Huna masnisin also leishminon. According to the way we've analyzed this Mishnah, the Mishnah is actually telling us exactly Rav Huna's halacha. So what's Rav Huna coming to tell us? Says the Gemara, Iboy Seime, it could be that Rav Huna diyuka de masnisin ka'omar. It doesn't say explicitly in the Mishnah that we're talking about that he's got Chazaka, and it must be he's got Chazaka, otherwise there's no Chiddush, and it's a Chazaka, why don't we believe him? It must be because it's 2 years B'chaye Oviv, 1 year B'chaye B'noi. All that is not explicit. It was Rav Huna who analyzed the Mishnah and brought it to our attention that that's what the Mishnah must have meant. That would be one way of explaining it. Iboy Seime, afilu higdil komash malon. That in the Mishnah, in and of itself, maybe we're talking about a case where the first 2 years was B'chaye Oviv, and then the child was a minor, and then the child grew up. maybe the Mishnah is not talking about that case. Maybe the Mishnah is only talking about the case when the child is still a minor. Reuven comes to Shimon, a little boy, and says, "You should know, little boy, this field belonged to your father. I bought it from him. I've got chazaka." But since there's Edim who can say that this field belonged to his father, your chazaka is not valid, because even though some of the 3 years you were there in the life of the father, but some of the time it was the life of a little child. What do you want from him? So that's all the Mishnah would have said. And that's fair enough. That is what's good. The chiddush here. Says Rav Huna, no. Even if Higdil, that's the element that Rav Huna is adding that it doesn't say in the Mishnah. Even after Shimon becomes a godel, nonetheless, you cannot resort to that chazaka. Since, as far as Shimon is concerned, the first time he saw Reuven in the field was when Shimon was a minor, he just took it for granted that this is what happens. Reuven is in the field. He doesn't know he's supposed to protest. And since he doesn't know he's supposed to protest, even if he's there for many years later, if Reuven stays in the field years after Shimon is already not a minor, is already a godel, nonetheless, we do not rely on this chazaka, because chazaka only means the owner should have protested and could have protested and didn't protest. That's the proof that it belongs to the buyer. Over here, Shimon was a minor when Reuven first came in. He couldn't and shouldn't have, and the protesting wasn't in his lexicon. And therefore, once he grew up, he didn't realize that either. And therefore, Reuven has to make sure to always keep this document of sale in order to prove that it belongs to him. Continues the Gemara. The listener Bedidei. The Gemara's got another suggestion now. So we understand why the Mishnah chose Shimon's father and didn't choose Shimon, as we just discussed. Says the Gemara, okay, because we had an issue with the second part of the Mishnah, the last part of the Mishnah, that if we're talking about Shimon himself, then what are you saying? If Edom say that the field belonged to Shimon, then Reuven is not believed, and we didn't understand. If he's got chazaka, of course he's believed. If he doesn't have chazaka, then of course he's not believed. What's the Mishnah coming to Mechadish to us? Now the Gemara says, the listener Bedidei, I've still got another example that Reuven could have said to Shimon that this field was yours and I bought it. And since Shimon didn't know any better, we have a migu. And the Mishnah will say, but if there's Edim, the field belonged to Shimon, then Reuven is not Ne'eman. And we asked a question, I don't understand, if he's got 3 years chazaka, of course he's Ne'eman. If he doesn't have 3 years chazaka, of course he's not Ne'eman. What's the element of the chiddush? Says the Gemara, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a case with Shimon himself where there would be an element of chiddush in the fact that he's got chazaka and he's still not Ne'eman. What would that be? Let's speak about a case of Shimon, not Shimon's father. V'loikme will explain the case, k'goin she'ochlo shtayim befonov, that Reuven says, I bought the field from you, Shimon. It was yours. And for 2 years, when I was in the field, befonov, in front of you. You saw me in the field. You didn't protest. V'achas shalei befonov. And the third year, I was in the field, but you were not here anymore, because you ran away. Or k'goin she'borach. You ran away. So I may have thought, I can say, I've got a chazaka. No. Since you don't have a pesha osa, you don't have a migu, because there are edim who say that the field used to belong to Shimon. So now, einu ne'emon. When einu ne'emon? Even though you've got a chazaka, you're not ne'emon. There's a chiddush. Why? Because one of the years, Shimon was no longer here. Shimon had to run away. Ask the Gemara, let's try and understand this. Borach machmas mai, why did Shimon run away? Ida borach machmas nefoshes. If he ran away because there was a danger of life, he was being threatened by the malchus or whatever it was, then pshita delay mehemon. Then of course Reuven is not believed. Of course Reuven can't say, I was here for 3 years and you didn't protest. Shimon can say, of course I didn't protest, I wasn't here, I had to run away. Delay motzi mochi, he couldn't protest. Ida borach machmas momen. But if he ran away just because there were people who were chasing him for money and he just felt safer, or he just didn't want to be around, so he chose to leave the place, then Iboy Lilim Khuya. Then why didn't you, Shimon, protest from wherever you were? You ran away from this town to a different town, protest from that town. And don't you worry, the protest would have reached Reuven's ears. Chavra chavra isle. Your friend would have heard the protest and told his friend and his friend. At the end, Reuven would have heard. And then he would have kept the document. That's what a mechor does. When the owner protests within 3 years, then the buyer will say, hey, we have an issue here, I better keep the document. If the seller doesn't protest for 3 years, then the buyer is allowued to get rid of his documents. And virtue of the fact that he was there for 3 years and didn't Nobody protested, and he claims he bought it. He's believed. So if Shimon just ran away because of Machmas Momon, he wasn't in danger of life, he should have made the protest wherever he was. You didn't make a protest, of course it belongs to Reuven. What's Einoi Nemon? We rule that if you make a protest, even not in front of the proposed buyer or in front of the buyer, the one who's in the field now, it's considered a valid protest. Ditnan, we learnt in a Mishnah in Baba Basra, Sholish Harotzis Lechazoker, Eretz Yisrael is split up into three places, so to speak, three types of countries within Eretz Yisrael. Yehuda, one is called Yehuda, Ve'Evar Yardin, one is called Evar Yardin, the other side of the Jordan, Ve'Hagolil, and the Golil. So it says in the Mishnah, Hoya b'Yehuda, if the original owner belonged to, if the original owner was in Yehuda, and his field was in the Golil, v'hirzik b'Golil, if for whatever reason the owner of the field in Golil was in Yehuda, or b'Golil, or if the original owner was in Golil, v'hirzik b'Yehuda, and the buyer took hold of the property and was in the property in a place of Yehuda, einu chazaka. Then that's not called a chazaka, and the fact that the original owner didn't protest is not valid. Doesn't it help you? Doesn't give you permission to destroy your documents, your proof, because how should he have known? How should he have protested? He has to be in the same country, either in Yehuda or in Golil. You have to be together. If you're together in the same Medina, in the same country, so to speak, then the fact that he didn't protest is valid, and then the buyer doesn't need to keep his proof of purchase. And we analyze this Mishnah. Maikosova, what does the Mishnah hold? Ikosova mecha shalei b'fon of have mecha. If you hold that it's possible to make a protest not in front of the buyer himself, then afilo b'Yehuda v'Golil nami. What's the difference if you're in Golil and you're in Yehuda? Make your protest and word will get round. If you say that making a protest not in front of the buyer is not considered a mecha, so why do you say if one is in Yehuda and one is in Galil, even within Yehuda, if we from one city to the next, it's also not a mecha? Omer Rav Abba Bar Mamel explained, the truth is mecha shalei b'fonov is considered a mecha, and you can make a protest even not in front of the buyer, and word will get to the buyer, and then the buyer will keep his documents, and just being there, virtue of his being there and allowing him to destroy the documents, that will not work. Or Masnissin, the Mishnah, who speaks about Yehuda and Golil, is Bashaz Chirum, is talking about in a time where there was hostility between Yehuda and Golil, and people were not traveling between Yehuda and Golil, so a protest in one place would not have been heard in the other place. Asks the Gemara that if it's all just dependent on whether there's hostility between one place and the next, and if there is, then making a protest in one place will not be valid if the buyer, if the field and the person in the field is in a different place. If so, Maishna Yehuda v'Golil denokit. So why did the Mishnah choose Yehuda, Golil? What's the difference which places it was? Answers the Gemara, the stam Yehuda v'Golil kashas chirum domi, because the Mishnah there doesn't tell us that it's talking about where there was hostility between the places. It just says if one of them is in Yehuda, one of them is in Golil, then it's not good. The mechah, the protest doesn't work. The question is, so why are you talking about Yehuda and Golil? The answer is Stam Yehuda v'Golil kashas chirum dom. Yehuda and Golil were typically or usually in hostile relationship with each other, and therefore typically if one of them was in Yehuda and one of them was in Golil, then the mechal would not have worked. So let's just get back to the Gemara's question. The Gemara asks, why did the Mishnah choose an example that Reuven said to Shimon, that you, Shimon, this field belonged to your father, and I bought the field from him, and then we say that if we don't know that the field belonged to Shimon's father, Reuven is believed because of Migu, Hapesha Osahu Hapesha Hitir. If there is a dim, it belonged to Shimon's father, then Reuven is not believed, because why should he be believed? We don't have the Migu. And then the Gemara discussed, as we saw, and then the Gemara asked, why don't you talk about Shimon himself and say that Reuven will say to Shimon, this field was yours. If Shimon knew nothing about it, Shimon didn't come forward and make a claim, Reuven is believed. If he says it was yours and I bought it from you. But in the event that this Edim belonged to Shimon, then Reuven's not believed. And then the Gemara says, but I don't understand. If he's got Chazakah, it's his. If he doesn't have Chazakah, it's not his. What does it mean the Mishnah is trying to say? He's not Ne'eman, Reuven can't keep the field. What's the Chiddush? If he doesn't have Chazakah, and if he does have Chazakah, why is he not Ne'eman? Of course it's his. Like any Chazakah. And the Gemara says, I'll tell you a case. A case will be when Shimon was only there for 2 years. The third year, Shimon wasn't there. I may have thought that Reuven is Ne'eman, it's his field, he's been there for 3 years, Chazakah. Says the Mishnah is not Ne'eman, because one of those years, Shimon wasn't there. Good question, and that will be the Chiddush. So that was the question of the Gemara. Why are you talking about Shimon's father? Talk about Shimon. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says, just a minute, why was he not there? He ran away. Well, let's try and work this out. If he ran away because he had to flee for his life, if so, then of course Shimon couldn't do a chazaka. It would go without saying that Reuven is not Ne'eman. It's only ever possible to have a chazaka for 3 years that the original owner could have protested. Over here, he ran for his life. He couldn't protest. Of course you're not Ne'eman. There's no chiddush in that. And if you say he ran away just because he was running away from people he owed money to here, and he could have made a mecha, well, if he could have made a mecha and didn't make a mecha, then indeed Reuven's chazaka is a good chazaka. Because we hold that a mecha shaloi befonov is considered a mecha. And therefore, again, the Mishnah couldn't have spoken about Shimon himself, because that extra year, make up your mind. If Shimon couldn't have made a mecha, it goes without saying that he's not Ne'eman. I don't need the Mishnah to say it. If he could have made a mecha and didn't make a mecha, then why do you say he's not Ne'eman? Reuven is Ne'eman, because Shimon could have made a mecha even from afar, and he didn't. So then he is Ne'eman. It does belong to Reuven. And that's why the Mishnah didn't speak about Shimon himself. He spoke about Shimon's father. In the next Gemara, we're going to discuss another possible case the Mishnah could have said and discuss why the Mishnah didn't.